Blog Talk Radio.
There's a little song that we sing in our movement down in the South. I don't know if you've heard it, but it has become the theme song. We shall overcome. We shall overcome. Deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome. Though I join hands so often with students and others behind jail bars singing it, we shall overcome. Sometimes we've had tears in our eyes when we joined together to sing it, but we still decided to sing it. We shall overcome. No, before this victory is won, some will have to get thrown in jail some more, but we shall overcome. Don't worry about us. Before the victory is won, some of us will lose jobs, but we shall overcome. Before the victory is won, even some will have to face physical death. But if physical death is the price that some must pay to free their children from a permanent psychological death, then nothing shall be more redemptive. We shall overcome. Before the victory is won, some will be misunderstood and called bad names and dismissed as rabble-rousers and agitators. But we shall overcome. And I'll tell you why. We shall overcome because the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. We shall overcome because Carlyle is right. No lie can live forever. We shall overcome because William Cullen Bryant is right. Truth crushed to earth will rise again. We shall overcome because James Russell Lowell is right. Truth forever on the scaffold, wrong forever on the throne. Yet that scaffold sways the future. Behind the dim unknown standeth God within the shadow, keeping watch above his own. We shall overcome because the Bible is right. You shall reap what you sow. We shall overcome. Deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome. And with this faith, we will go out and adjourn the councils of despair and bring new light into the dark chambers of pessimism. And we will be able to rise from the fatigue of despair to the buoyancy of hope. And this will be a great America. We will be the participants in making it so. And so as I leave you this evening, I say, walk together, children. Don't you get weary. There's a great camp meeting in the I'm going to go to the hospital.
One of the things that's going on tonight, we are getting ready for Dr. King Movement. I want Tracy Burns, I'm praying for you tonight, Tracy. I was looking to hear from you. But I want to give you prophecy of what's going on tonight. I want to tell you what's happening, what's going on. This is the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Movement tonight. And I want to say to you, I had some people, they said they went out to the casino. One lady said she couldn't make no money. Another lady said she couldn't make no money. One thing you have to understand, when the economy is bad, it's hard to go to the casinos and win money. When the casino let you win, they win. Okay. If you say you won $1,000, there's about 10,000 people that lost money. I don't say that to you. This is Monday night, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Movement tonight. And I want to say to you, I got prophecy for 2019, 2020, 22, 23, and 24. Praying for you, Bright Sky. God bless you. Raymond, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for those down in Arkansas, Mississippi. I didn't hear from you, Net. You had called me. But, Net, I want to say this to you, Net, since you're on. I picked up Cat. Cat was sitting talking to me. And the day when I was Cat, Mag, and Des were sitting talking to me, and they told me to tell the family to be at peace and all that confusion she was talking about. And I said, Cat, what happened? Cat said, Bishop, I looked up, I don't know what happened. She don't know right now what happened to her. Pulled out, that was it. And I asked her what was on her, and she said, I don't know, I just... And sometimes things happen. I'm praying for those who lost loved ones. There's no sorrow on earth that heaven cannot heal. The healing process comes from God. And those that lost loved ones, right now, over in London, they got the king, the queen, all over. I've seen the roar. But I've seen the thing they talk about God. They talked about God being the creator. They talk about God being over everything. I'm talking about the Poor People Campaign. People right now, I was talking to a young man, he said, Bishop, there's so many people got killed. What's happening? the evil spirit take over. But Dr. King said we overcome. I'm looking for reparation. And Dr. King was born to Washington. He said we want our check. He's talking about reparation for our ancestors. Our ancestors, we are the Native American blacks. We've been here. Our ancestors have been here. We built Arkansas, Mississippi, Louisiana. We made Mississippi great with cotton. We made Louisiana great with sugar cane. We made Virginia great with tobacco. So this country owe us, our ancestors, for us to start and get into business, we ought to do. I want to tell you tonight, there's a blessing for you. I told you about the hurricanes coming, floods over in Alaska. They got floods and tsunamis right now over in Cuba, and they got storms in Ireland. I told you the hurricanes coming back to back. I told you that. I want to tell you tonight, Mary, I see you late coming on, Mary. I was looking for Mary. She's just popping up. I don't know what must be asleep. But this is Monday night, Dr. King Movement night. I want to talk about where we at as black men, as black women, where we at as a race. We right now is in the midst of spiritual warfare. Every time you pick up the paper, somebody killing somebody. The spirit of Abaddon is a murdering spirit, and that spirit is sent by the devil. So right now, there's no sovereign earth that heaven cannot heal. The seed of Abraham, ministry, prophecy for 2019. For 2019, still coming back to back. For 2020, we are just getting over with the COVID. All that, we're just getting over with. We're not over with it yet. If you send your kids to school, make sure they mask up. But if you possibly can, homeschool your kids. Get a room, homeschool your kids. That's what happened with that. What you need to do. Now, I'm going to get ready to tell you. A lady asked me today, said, Bishop, what's wrong with the money? It's five people. They went to the casino. They called me back. This Bishop, one lady said, I spent $1,000. I didn't get nothing. I said, well, and I was probably relieved about this, too. Right now, everything, the economy, we're in a depression, whether you know it or not. Being in a depression, ain't nobody spending nothing. They're holding everything, okay? But the way you break out, you plant that seed for what you need. And I was telling young lady, she said, Bishop, I'm going to get my seed in. I said, cash out. Okay. I'm going to tell you, if you need to get a seed in right now, just the ninth month. This is the month of healing, and this is the month of resurrection. Things changing in your life. It's time for you to claim healing, because Raphael is the healing angel, and the host of angels are healing angels. Now, we know right now, if you watch TV all day long, they was talking about the queen, and she crossed over. Okay, now, what do that mean? A lot of changes are going to take place since the queen take place. You're going to see it in your lifetime. I want to tell you tonight, this is the healing month. I want to decree right now, you know, the lady called me this morning and said, you know, 52 people were shot, and that was about 10 killed, shootouts, accidents. What's going on, Bishop? I said, it's a divine law, and God is straightening something up. St. Matthew 6:30 says, seek first the kingdom of God and the righteous. When you walk in the righteous of God, good things will happen. Dr. King said this, and I got to play it, and we got to overcome.
There's a little song that we sing in our movement down in the South. I don't know if you've heard it, but it has become the theme song. We shall overcome. we shall overcome. Deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome. No, I joined hands so often with students and others behind jail bars singing it. We shall overcome. Sometimes we've had tears in our eyes when we joined together to sing it, but we still decided to sing it. We shall overcome. No, before this victory is won, some will have to get thrown in jail some more, but we shall overcome. Don't worry about us. Before the victory is won, some of us will lose jobs, but we shall overcome. Before the victory is won, even some will have to face physical death. But if physical death is the price that some must pay to free their children from a permanent psychological death, then nothing shall be more redemptive. We shall overcome. Before the victory is won, some will be misunderstood and called bad names and dismissed as rabble-rousers and agitators. But we shall overcome. And I'll tell you why. We shall overcome because the arc of the moral universe is law.
Dr. King, and we're going to overcome because God will for us to be safe. This is Bishop Turner. We're with the Dr. King Movement tonight, talking about Dr. King. This is Dr. Martin Luther King. On Monday, we have Dr. Martin Luther King Movement. I wanted brother to call in. We were talking about, and I want you to press 1 on your phone, because we were talking about what happened to the Little Mermaid, because she was black, and that's racist, and I got this young man on. But I want to say that, because she black, you know, you're talking about racism is really going on in our community. Racism, Dr. King talked about going into this century, we have more racism. The shooting, police killing people killing each other. But here's a young man right here in Chicago. Peace and love, you on 27 days strong. Yes, I want to say something to you tonight. What do you think about the Little Mermaid, the girl that sang? She sang better, but there's so much of come against her. She's on Disney. Give me your read on that.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you.
Okay. Yeah, it's been since 2019 the cast been named, and they did a live action, you know. We always see the Disney movies be remade and stuff. And her name is Halle Berry. She's not related to Halle Berry, but she's a young star with her sister. So she auditioned for the Little Mermaid. And when the director talked about it, he said that he looked at a lot of girls, and she was the best one. And so when they revealed the cast for it, he said she was the best one. She sing, and he saw it. When they revealed the cast in 2009, was an uproar, and apparently people, you know, I don't want to say white people, but majority of some people sit there and say,
you have to call out what it was. It was white people jealous of this black girl that was able to tell what's going on. She could sing better.
Yeah, you're right about that, but I want to just say it's some majority of some people that got this bias that black people can't do certain roles, and they jealous of, which I'm assuming they jealous probably of her. But my thing is when they announced it, now all of a sudden I see it on YouTube, I see it on TV, I see it on all these networks. They talked about it and they said, some of these networks said, she's black. Why we got a black mermaid? The Little Mermaid, that's not my Little Mermaid. Little Mermaid supposed to be white with red hair, long red hair with blue eyes. That's not my mermaid. So they outraged that this girl who's pretty, gorgeous, sings so good, finna be starring this movie, and it was 2.1 million dislikes on YouTube when the trailer come out. And it was about, I think about 4 point something. I don't know the ratio of the millions between likes. So they said it's the worst like and dislike trailer reveal teaser in YouTube history because it's so much dislike towards her.
Her because she was black and she could sing better and she looked better.
Yeah, and she could sing better. And it disappointed me because it's movies that I can't but I don't remember that a lot of white people took over certain roles in our history and took over certain roles and they didn't complain about that, but they want to complain about this because they see the mermaid as white and blue-eyed, red-haired girl.
Okay, what you're saying is happening. They have white folks to play black parts, then they got white folks to play Mexican parts. How come you don't let black people play their part, Mexican play their part, Jews play their part, but it seems like the white want to play all the parts, even if they're the color of the face. You know, Amos and Andy, they were white. They covered their face like they was black. We have always tried to cut the black man off and the black woman. But we come into now where we be able to know the young girl that's singing Little Mermaid, she's better, she's more intelligent, she look good, and it's her role. And can't nobody...
It's her role.
I mean, she got the gift. And when you talk about gift, you got the gift. Muhammad Ali had the gift. Could nobody beat him boxing. See? Michael Jordan had the gift. Okay? And when you got the gift, can't nobody take it from you, but they have always tried to take the black man and put him low. But we are steady rising up. I want to thank you for that. But what you were trying to say, that the lady was, she's qualified. She overqualified for the job. Is that what you're saying?
She overqualified. If y'all look it up, guys, look it up and you'll see. And he talked about a director who's going to direct this in next year, which come out in May 2023. He said that he auditioned everybody, all kind of girls, white, black, everything. And she was the best one that came in there. And even the cast that's coming up is, you know, the person that plays Ursula, she's Melissa McCarthy, if y'all recognize her. The one that's played Eric, the prince, he's white. He actually white, got blue eyes. All the cast, majority is white, and they not saying anything about how she coming in. It's just people out here.
That's the race of people. See, right now we're in the middle of a race war. And you know, black folks, white folks don't want black folks to get, and it's all about racism. And one thing I was saying, Dr. King said, we got to get out of reparation. And reparation is the money that our ancestors worked for in Mississippi, Arkansas. See, black folk made Mississippi rich by cotton. And people buying cotton all over the world. And they made Louisiana rich by sugar cane. Black folk. And then in Virginia, they made tobacco. Now, what happened? Slaves did all that, but they never did get paid. So Dr. King was talking about going into 2023, the biggest problem we got is a race problem. White folks don't want to let black folks in. And now they bring all these folks over here. And right now, all the money going to Ukraine and all that. What about the people here that work? What about the people here looking for jobs? There's a lot of racism going on. And now I want to publicize this since I'm talking. There's going to be some more killing in these schools. Now, I ask parents, if you got kids, homeschool them until the government and the city, the state and the government come up with a plan to put metal detectors in these schools, because these kids are coming to school with knives and guns, and they'll shoot the teacher. Now, the Congress, the Democrats and Republicans, have not said nothing about the assault weapons. Those guns supposed to be in war. What they're doing on the streets of Chicago, Indiana, Mississippi, Arkansas, those guns is for war. Those guns is for the killing people. So because of the money, the Republican Party, Democrat, is selling guns to children. So it's dangerous now to be out because everybody got a gun, you know, and they're shooting. And my whole thing is that until the government regulates that, and it's got to go with the government. It's got to go with Congress. It's got to go with the Republican and Democrats and the mayor and the governor of these cities. Says no more assault weapons, no more rifle, machine guns in the city, and outlaw them. Because this is what's going to happen, brother. More black kids and white kids are going to get killed in school because they're bringing these guns to school. So I tell parents, if you don't have a plan for your kids, school your kids, or go to the Board of Education, or go to the teachers, and say, we want a metal detector in the school where when kids come in, they got to come through the door to see if they got any guns tonight. Because kids, 12 and 13, one boy on the north side, he had a 9mm in his backpack. And one of the kids told the principal, well, he could have pulled out and shot anybody. So going into 22 and 23, we're going to have the gun problem. My prophecy is that the president going to have to call a meeting with people from Chicago, Detroit, Minnesota, Detroit, Arkansas, to talk about the gun violence that's going on. And we had Mexican Day. It was downtown doing everything. Did nobody get arrested? There have been black folks down, all of them been locked up and in jail. We talking about, and I want to say this, we talking about justice for all. We talking about no justice, no peace. You know, what happened to George Floyd, he was killed. But there's a lot of more people was killed, but that we just don't know about it. Men are being shot down and killed. They just got two policemen live, got them on camera where they lied about killing somebody, shooting somebody. We got to get these rogue polices off the police board, these rogue judges off the bench, and put some people in politics that are going to take care of the business for other people. Now, I want to tell you tonight, this is the Dr. King Movement. We're on every night from nine to 10 every night. Now, some of you, let me read this here for you. Prophecy. This is prophecy for 2023. There'll be earthquakes and floods. In 2024, you're going to find out this virus is gone. It ain't gone yet. But the end of 23, that virus is going to be gone. But that will be in the Supreme Court. Now, this is going to happen between 23 or 24. It's going to be a turnover in the Supreme Court. Somebody going to quit or somebody going to die out. But it's going to be a change in the Democrat and Republican Party. Okay. Now, in Mississippi, floods, Louisiana, Texas, some part of Illinois, Missouri, we're going to have floods. We're going to have an early winter. Okay. I'm going to say that earthquakes in China, earthquake in Italy, earthquake in California. We got earthquakes in some part of China and tsunami. And in Russia, we have an earthquake. And in Alaska, we're going to have floods. And it's going to be floods because the snow the rocket is melting by enormous things that's happening. Now, I want to say to you tonight, we're praying that everything's going to work out. And I want to tell you, racism is very strong in our colleges, in our schools. And, you know, and ain't nobody speaking about no justice, no peace. There are lots of brothers in jail and sisters in jail. And we have crooked politicians that want 22 bringing out all the truth. This 2022, 23, and 24 is the end of the deal. We're going to have hurricanes in the Gulf, in Texas, and some part of Florida. That's going to happen the end of 22 going into 23. We're going to have earthquake and we're going to have back-to-back hurricanes. One just missed us, but it's never coming, okay? And fires out in California, mudslides out in California. And I'm looking here. It said there will be an earthquake, a real devastating earthquake out in the California area. That's going to happen. I want to say to you tonight, this is the Dr. King Movement. And if you want to become involved in the Dr. King Movement, I'm going to tell you, go to Cash Out and hit the money sign in Bishop TTT, and you plant your seed for what you need. There's a lot of changes going to be taking place, so you get ready and things take place. Don't feel bad because a lot's going on in this country, a lot's going on in the world. You know, it was so many people got killed in Detroit and Chicago. I said, what's happening to all these people being killed? These people are being shot and killed. So much going on with them. That's what's happening. There's a lot going on with these people that are being shot and killed. And it's happening right before our eyes. We're looking at it and we see it happen. But it's happening. We're watching it happening. And we watch it happen. It's happening real fast. So we see it happening. And, you know, everybody looking at the king and what happened over across the water. A million people, more than that, look at the queen.
Myself.
This over in... This is
the
queen.
The Lord, my shepherd, was also son of her women.
Her late Majesty's broadcast during COVID lockdown ended with, "We will meet again." Words of hope from a song of Vera Lynn. We can all share the Queen's hope, which in life and death inspired her servant leadership. Service in life, hope in death, all follow the Queen's example and inspiration of trust and faith in God, can with her say, we will meet again.
This is the film of Queen. This is the Queen coronation hymn, and people from all over the world came to see this. I want to say to you tonight, the Queen moves very powerful, and I want to say to you, it's a lesson. All
after the service, in. The grey autumn day had given way to sunshine, and the Queen was on her way home for the last time. They are a royal family, yes, but also a real family. A family that has lost its two guiding figures in cruelly quick succession. morning with a billion eyes upon you. It is the contract with the public, it is the deal, but at times like this, certainly for the youngest, it cannot be.
This is world history, what's going on, what happened over there. This is world history. The longest reigning queen.
You've heard it, but it has become the theme song. We shall overcome.
Let Dr. King sing "We Shall Overcome." Don't forget, we're getting ready to go into the next level. And I was over with some people over on where we got a guy doing a Bronco Squad. He's taking people money. I talked to somebody from the Bronco Squad. They coming over to that building. They want to see this guy and see what papers he got to be able to take people's money. It's taking senior citizen money, ripping people off, King Movement, along with SCLC. And we're going to see, I think they're doing on Warbag, 73rd, anywhere over there. I know where it said I got to go down. But we're going to see, and this guy's going to go to jail or prison for taking senior money. He's going to take all kind of money. Senior citizen, the building ain't being fixed up. And, the newspaper said they're going to come out and take pictures. They want to come on the inside of the building. And they want people to pay rent. How are people going to pay rent? The building is ragged and tore up. And I was telling some people, they said they're coming out and I'm taking pictures of the building. And the guy that owned the building is in New York, but they got somebody in there scamming, getting money, and putting homeless people and putting people off the street in the building so the building becomes dangerous. You know, get to lock your door. So we're going to see about that. That's one of the things that happened. I want you to get ready for God to get ready to know that there's a breakthrough for you. I want to have birthday to little brother, 90-year-old, have a birthday to you. And everyone that got birthday tonight, I want to have a birthday to you. All is well. God is still. And we're pushing the SCLC. Get out, register to vote. We have to be able to change what's going on in this country. What I'm saying, now if you don't watch, your food stamps gonna get cut off. All the little you get gonna cut off because they started bringing people in that's not qualified. They bringing them in, dropping them off in Chicago. And we welcome them. How can you welcome people from another country if you ain't taking other people in the country? You're not taking care of the women and the children already here in the country. You're not taking care of the women and children in Mississippi, Arkansas, Louisiana. People are suffering. People don't have nowhere to stay. People ain't got no food. You know, and it's so hard to go get food stamps. It's so hard to get on aid. And people come over here and they get on aid overnight. So something wrong with what's going on now. So it's very important for you to stand together, brothers and sisters, but we'll be able to understand that racism play a big part in America. And Dr. King said one of the worst things that we got, Dr. King talked about the race war that we got going on here, how racist it is in America. And one of the worst things we've got in America now is racism, and race is in everywhere. It's not homosexuality, it's not homosexuality. Now it's racism. It's stopping you, and Malcolm said it, Dr. King said it, and when Malcolm said it, they didn't believe it. He said Malcolm was racist. But Malcolm X told the truth, and Dr. King told the truth. But they didn't want to hear what Dr. said. They didn't want to hear what Dr. King said. Dr. King said there was two America, one white, one black, one, and it's so true. Before you go to bed tonight, Lisa, give me a call. I got a prophecy for you. Annette, give me a call. I want to tell you what Cat told me to tell you. And this is Dr. King talking about true America. Go to my website, thusseedabrahamyosite.com. Write me, Post Office Box 28909, Chicago, Illinois 60628. Go to Cash App, Money Sign, Bishop, T.T. And plant your seed. But if you ain't got no need, don't plant no seed. Well, if you plant a seed, a harvest is going to come. I'm going to pray that your harvest comes quick, fast, and in the hurry. This is Dr. King talking about true America.
This week and weeks before that. And I'd like to use as a subject from which to speak this afternoon the other America. And I use this subject because there are literally two Americas. One America is beautiful for situation. Millicent, America is overflowing with the milk of prosperity and the honey of opportunity. This America is the habitat of millions of people who have food and material necessities for their bodies, culture and education for their minds, freedom and human dignity for their spirits. In this America, millions of people experience every day the opportunity of having life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness in all of their dimensions. In this America, millions of young people grow up in the sunlight of opportunity. But tragically and unfortunately, there is another America. This other America has a daily ugliness about it that constantly transforms the buoyancy of hope into the fatigue of despair. In this America, millions of work-starved men walk the streets daily in search for jobs that do not exist. In this America, millions of people find themselves living in rat-infested, vermin-filled slums. In this America, people are poor by the millions. They find themselves perishing on a lonely island of poverty in the midst of a vast ocean of material prosperity. In a sense, the greatest tragedy of this other America is what it does to little children. Little children in this other America are forced to grow up with clouds of inferiority forming every day in their little mental sky. As we look at this other America, we see it as an arena of blasted hopes and shattered dreams. Many people of various backgrounds live in this other America. Some are Mexican Americans, some are Puerto Ricans, some are Indians, some happen to be from other groups. Millions of them are Appalachian whites. Probably the largest group in this other America in proportion to its size and the population is the American Negro. American Negro finds himself living in a triple ghetto, a ghetto of race, a ghetto of poverty, a ghetto is to deal with this problem, to deal with this problem of the two Americas. We are seeking to make America one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Now let me say that the struggle for civil rights, the struggle to make these two Americas one America, is much more difficult today than it was 5 or 10 years ago. For about a decade or maybe 12 years, we struggled all across the South in glorious struggle to get rid of legal, overt segregation and all of the humiliation that surrounded that system of segregation. In a sense, this was a struggle for decency. We could not go to a lunch counter in so many instances and get a hamburger or a cup of coffee. We could not make use of public accommodation. Public transportation was segregated. Often we had to sit in the back and within transportation within cities, we often had to stand over empty seats because sections were reserved for whites only. We did not have the right to vote in so many areas of the South. The struggle was to deal with these problems. Certainly they were difficult problems. They were humiliating conditions. By the thousands, we protested these conditions. We made it clear that it was ultimately more honorable to accept jail cell experiences than to accept segregation and humiliation. 5,000 students and adults decided to sit in at segregated lunch counters to protest conditions there. When they were sitting at those lunch counters, they were in reality standing up for the best in the American dream, seeking to take the whole nation back to those great wells of democracy, which were dug deep by the founding fathers in the formulation of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. Many things were gained as a result of these years of struggle. 1964, the Civil Rights Bill came into being after the Birmingham Movement, which did a great deal to subpoena the conscience of a large segment of the nation to appear before the judgment seat of morality on the whole question of civil rights. After the Selma movement in 1965, we were able to get a voting rights bill. All of these things represented strife. But we must see that the struggle today is much more difficult. It's more difficult today because we are struggling now for genuine equality. It's much easier to integrate a lunch counter than it is to guarantee a livable income and a good solid job. It's much easier to guarantee the right to vote than it is to guarantee the right to live in sanitary, decent housing conditions. It is much easier to integrate a public park than it is to make genuine quality integrated education a reality. So today we are struggling for something which says we demand genuine equality. Not merely a struggle against extremist behavior toward Negroes. I'm convinced that many of our people who supported us in the struggle in the South are not willing to go all the way now. I came to say this in a very difficult and painful way in Chicago over the last year where I lived and worked. Some of the people who came quickly to march with us in Selma and Birmingham were active around Chicago. And I came to see that so many people who supported morally and even financially what we were doing in Birmingham and were really outraged against the extremist behavior of Bull Connor and Jim Clark toward Negroes rather than believing in genuine equality for Negroes. And I think this is what we've got to see now, and this is what makes the struggle much more difficult. So as a result of all of this, we see many problems existing today that are growing more difficult. It's something that is often overlooked, but Negroes generally live in worse slums today than 20 or 25 years ago. In the North, schools are more segregated today than they were in 1954 when the Supreme Court's decision on desegregation was rendered. Economically, the Negro is worse off today than he was 15 and 20 years ago. So the unemployment rate among whites at one time was about the same as the unemployment rate among Negroes. But today the unemployment rate among Negroes is twice that of whites. And the average income of the Negro is today 50% less than whites. As we look at these problems, we see them growing and developing every day. We see the fact that the Negro economically is facing a depression in his everyday life that is more staggering than the depression of the 30s. The unemployment rate, the nation as a whole, is about 4%. Statistics would say from the Labor Department that among Negroes it's about 8.4%. But these are the persons who are in the labor market, who still go to employment agencies to seek jobs until they can be calculated. The statistics can be gotten because they are still somehow in the labor market. But there are hundreds of thousands of Negroes who have given up. They've lost hope. They've come to feel that life is a long and desolate corridor for them with no exit sign. So they no longer go to look for a job. There are those who would estimate that these persons who are called the discouraged persons, the 6 to 7% in the Negro community, that means that unemployment among Negroes may well be 16%. Among Negro youth in some of our large urban areas, it goes to 30% and 40%. So you can see what I mean when I say that in the Negro community, that is a major, tragic, and staggering depression that we face in our everyday lives. Now, the other thing that we've got to come to see now that many of us didn't see too well during the last 10 years, that is that racism is still alive in American society and much more widespread than we realize. We must see racism for what it is. It is the myth of the superior and the inferior race. It is a false and tragic notion that one particular group, one particular race is responsible for all of the progress, all of the insight, and the total flow of history. And the theory that another group or another race is totally depraved, innately impure, and innately inferior. In the final analysis, racism is evil because its ultimate logic is genocide. Hitler was a sick and tragic man who carried racism to its logical conclusion. He ended up leading a nation to the point of killing about 6 million Jews. This is the tragedy of racism because its ultimate logic is genocide. One says that I am not good enough to live next door to him. One says that I am not good enough to eat at a lunch counter, or to have a good, decent job, or to go to school with him, merely because of my race. He is saying consciously or unconsciously that I do not deserve to exist. Use a philosophical analogy here. Racism is not based on some empirical generalization. It is based rather on an ontological affirmation. It is not the assertion that certain people are behind culturally or otherwise because of environmental conditions. It is the affirmation that the very being of a people is inferior. This is the great tragedy of it. I say that however unpleasant it is, we must honestly see and admit that racism is still deeply rooted all over America, still deeply rooted in the North, still deeply rooted in the South. Now this leads me to say something about another discussion that we hear a great deal, that is the so-called white fascism. I would like to honestly say to you that the white backlash is merely a new name for an old phenomenon, not something that just came into being because shouts of black power, or because Negroes engaged in riots and what, for instance. The fact is that the state of California voted a firehousing bill out of existence before anybody shouted black power. Before anybody rioted in Watts, may well be the shouts of black power and riots in Watts and the Harlems and the other areas are the consequences of the white backlash rather than the cause of it. What it is necessary to see is that there has never been a single solid monistic determined commitment on the part of the vast majority of white Americans. The whole question of civil rights and on the whole question of racial equality. This is something that truth impels all men of goodwill to admit. It is said on the Statue of Liberty that America is the home of exile. It doesn't take as long to realize that America has been the home of its white exiles from Europe. It has not evinced the same kind of maternal care and concern for its black exiles from Africa. It is no wonder that in one of his sorrow songs, the Negro could sing out, "Sometimes I feel like a motherless child." What great estrangement, what great sense of rejection caused the people to emerge with such a metaphor as they looked over their lives. What I'm trying to get across is that our nation has constantly taken a positive step forward on the question of racial justice and racial equality. But over and over again, at the same time, it made certain backward steps. This has been the persistence of the so-called white backlash. In 1863, the Negro was freed from the bondage of physical slavery. But at the same time, the nation refused to give him land to make that freedom meaningful. At that same period, America was giving millions of acres of land in the West and the Midwest, which meant that America was willing to undergird its white peasants from Europe with an economic floor that would make it possible to grow and develop. Refused to give that economic floor to its black peasants, so to speak. This is why Frederick Douglass could say that emancipation for the Negro was freedom to hunger, freedom to the winds and rains of heaven, freedom without roofs to cover their heads. He went on to say that it was freedom without bread to eat, freedom without land to cultivate. It was freedom and famine at the same time. But it does not stop there. In 1875, the nation passed the Civil Rights Bill, refused to enforce it. 1964, the nation passed a weaker Civil Rights Bill. Even to this day, that bill has not been totally enforced in all of its dimensions. The nation heralded a new day of concern for the poor, the poverty-stricken, for the disadvantaged, brought into being a poverty bill. At the same time, it put such little money into the program that it was hardly and still remains hardly a good skirmish against poverty. White politicians and suburbs talked eloquently against open houses, and in the same breath contend that they are not racist. Now, all of this and all of these things tell us that America has been backlashing on the whole question of